morning. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. If you look around and some of your neighbors on the pew are a little drowsy, it's because most of us had a really good breakfast right before worship. So if they doze off, you'll know that's because they ate some good pancakes, eggs, and sausage and had some good fellowship. Well, again, welcome to Calvary. If you're visiting with us today, if you'll fill out the little tab on the bulletin, that'll help us to make a record of your visit. We'd really appreciate that, and we want to ask you to turn that into any of us or put it in the offering plate at the back as you leave. Big thing going on this month is Awana starts in a couple of weeks. Still need somebody to step up and volunteer for the Cubbies class, which are the four-year-olds, I think. Isn't that right? Four- and five-year-olds. Need somebody to step up and be prepared to work with that. See Brian Riley right here if you want to work with the Awanas that are going to start very, very soon. Monday night, the 16th, we will have a men's Bible study, Return to Mayberry, and hope all of y'all can join us at 6:30 in the pastor's office. And bring somebody with you. Find a man who needs some fellowship and some Bible study and bring him along. Wednesday night, the 18th, make sure you have that on your calendar coming up very soon. We'll start the precept class, study, I think, in Revelation, coming up on that Wednesday night, the 18th. And then today, after we meet here for worship, we'll have a brief business meeting for our church. So all the members, we ask you to hang around for a few minutes as we cover some important church business. Take just a minute or two. Well, now if you'll stand with me, and we're going to pray and be prepared to enter into worship. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity today to have some fellowship and to enjoy the bounty of a meal. We ask you, Lord, to be with us today as we worship you in music and praise. Help us to focus on you completely with all of our heart and all of our mind. Be with us as we hear your word today. Let it be applied to us so that we go out of this place changed, so that we can be a light to our world and salt to our community and be a representation of on earth of the great Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith.
Oh. Father, we thank you that we have a story to tell because of who you are. We thank you for what you have done for us and are doing in us. Lord, let us now be focused on worshiping you as we set aside this time to give it to you. Move in our hearts and our minds, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Psalms 119, 105, a verse you're familiar with, I'm sure, says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." We're going to start today a series on the minor prophets, and over the next 12 weeks, we're going to do a deep dive into the Old Testament and see how God moved in their lives and see how he's going to move in ours. But before that, let's continue to worship.
Yeah. So why would I let worry steal my breath? Even the roses you have clothed in brilliant red, still I'm the one you love more than this. You give me
life is a journey, and we need a guide. We need the word of God to light our path. Scripture is powerful, and it is truth. It is breathed by God himself. It is sharper than any two-edged sword and pierces deep into the soul. We need his word to train us and to teach us how to live righteously. In his word, we find life. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will stand forever. Trust in his eternal word, and he will guide your path.
Pray with me. Father, we thank you for being our everything. We thank you for your word. We ask that as we open your word and study it, that you will open our minds. and our hearts. Reveal yourself to us. Father, I pray for each and every one of us in this room. I pray that you will clear our minds of any distractions, clear our hearts, purify us. Let your Holy Spirit move among us and draw us deep into you. Let the words that are spoken be yours, and give us ears to hear and understanding to apply. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. A couple of months ago, God laid on my heart for us to go through the minor prophets. And I'll tell you, my first response was, uh-oh. I'll tell you a little more about the uh-oh as we go. But I'm asked on occasion, why should we read and study the Old Testament? And people say, I really don't get a lot out of it. I don't know. And the thing about the Old Testament compared to the New Testament is our how we should live. It's our manual. Old tells us who God is. And the thing about our needing to know that, you can ask me a question about my wife. What will she say about this? What will she do about that? I can almost guarantee you I can tell you the answer. And it's because after 30 years of being with her and studying her, I know her tendencies. We need to know God's tendencies. We need to know who he is and how he acts. And especially considering God doesn't change, so he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And nothing gives us a perspective into who he is like the Old Testament. So we're going to embark on a survey, a quick drive-by, if you will, of the 12 minor prophets. There are 12 minor prophets. There are 4 major prophets. The only difference between a minor prophet and a major prophet, because we've put those labels on them, is how much they wrote. That's it. It's how long their book is. There's no difference. The minor prophets, their word is not less important than the major prophets. There are 5 books in the Bible. I'm telling y'all stuff that most of you know. There are 5 books in the Bible that are considered major prophets' books, and there are 4 major prophets. We think, although we don't know, that the book of Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. That's what most people, scholars, think. But there's 4 guys who considered minor prophets because they were long-winded. There are 12 minors because they said it and got out of the way. You start with Hosea. You start with Hosea in your Bible, and you go down through the New Testament, and there are 12 books there. They're the minor prophets. We're going to look at one a week. These are not in chronological order in your Bible. They're in God's order. Why they're not in chronological order, I don't know. Ask him. But here's my uh-oh about the minor prophets. They lived in a period, and they wrote in a period when God's people said, pretty much, we don't need you. Okay? And most of what their writings are God in dealing with his people when they say, we don't need you? To 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to read you something. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 1 through 5. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love themselves and their money. They will be boastful, proud, scoffing God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others, have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Does it sound like any place you know? Sounds like America to me. Sounds like that's where we are today. And when we take a look into the minor prophets, this is God dealing with people like that. And the uh-oh is, we are people like that. And I can tell you this. You and I live in the most blessed country that has ever existed. We are the richest people on the planet right now. And we sound like those people who want nothing to do with God. I can promise you this. God will not let this go on forever. He will not continue to bless us while we continue to turn our backs on Him. He's not. He's never done that at any point in history. And let me say this. This study and what we're going to go through and look at, I am not predicting the future. I'm not standing here as a prophet before you. I am standing here by somebody who reads the Word of God and says, God is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. And if He was like this for these people, at some point He's going to be like that for us. So, we need to be prepared. Because I'll tell you, it's like a snowball rolling downhill, and I don't know if anybody else has the same observation that I do, but we as a country and as people turned our back on God, and we have accelerated the pace at which we are getting away from Him, to which boggles my mind, because what you see and hear and read on the news today is about how we don't need God. If you read the bottom line of what they're saying, we don't need God. You can be whoever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do, just like 2 Timothy said. And at some point, God's going to say, I've had enough of that. So, we need to be prepared for that. Go with me to the book of Hosea. As we go through each of these 12, I'm going to give you three things to walk away with. I'm going to give you a major lesson from a minor prophet. I'm going to give you a major question. And I'm going to give you a major application that we can take away from what God's Word tells us and apply it to today. Now, the thing about these stories in the Old Testament, people say, you know, it's Old Testament's boring. I don't know how you could ever say that. Some of the wildest stuff goes on in these 12 books that you have ever heard in your life. Look with me at chapter 1, verse 2. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, "Go marry a prostitute." Does that sound like something you think God would say? What? Go marry. Y'all know he went, "What? Go marry a prostitute." Here's the thing for us, and the reason I say that, does that sound like something God would say to you? We put God in a box of what we think God is and what he should do and is going to do. And we don't know God. Speaking to the Israel through Hosea, he said, "Go marry a prostitute so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution." And this will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. Wow. I'm going to tell y'all something. America acts like a prostitute in turning from God to everything else. Now, as God's people, we are, look at Hosea's response and ask yourself, what would your response be if God said that to you? Look at verse 3. So Hosea married Gomer, and she became pregnant and gave Hosea a son. Verse 4. And the Lord said, "Name the child Jezreel, for I am about to punish the king's dynasty to avenge the murder he committed at Jezreel. In fact, I am going to bring an end to Israel's independence. I will break its military power in the Jezreel Valley." God's not playing around. And Hosea did exactly what God told him to do. Now, when I read these stories and when I go through Scripture, and we read them kind of as a flat, one-dimensional story, but he's a real person. And imagine yourself if that's what God told you to do. Could you do it? I mean, we sang a minute ago about God to change our hearts and make us a sanctuary, a place for him. And we heard about this song that is so poignant at the fact that God is our everything. Is there anything you won't do for him? Are you willing to do any and everything? Because that's what it takes to be a follower of Christ. And Hosea got a tall, hard request that doesn't sound like God. In fact, I bet if I were him, I'd go, "Are you sure? I'm going to have to pray about this because I don't think this is right." Because we continually try to put God into what we think he should do and who we think he is. He did exactly what he was told to do. Turn with me over to chapter 3. Okay? So remember, he's married to a prostitute because God is making his life a living example to the nation of Israel. Look at verse 3 of chapter 3. Then the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate how the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. Can you imagine the heartache for him? He's married to a prostitute, and she's left him. And for us, we tend to look at, why did God let this happen? If God loves me, why does this happen? Is God punishing me? All those things go through our mind when life doesn't line up exactly the way we want it or think it should. I'm going to tell you something. Following God is not easy. And he promised that it would not be. So he's still being obedient. And look at verse 2. So I bought her back with 15 pieces of silver, 5 bushels of barley, and a measure of wine. He had to go buy his wife back. I think everybody in here, if your spouse went and left you to prostitution, you would say, see you later. Good luck. And now you got to go buy her back. God's using his life to show Israel what they're doing to him. What is he using your life to show? See, we want our lives easy. We want things ironed out. If God is our everything, and we want to be a sanctuary for him, we have to be willing to do the hard stuff. Knowing that he loves you enough to make sure that even when it's hard, he's going to use it for his glory. Even when it doesn't make sense. Because I'm telling you straight up, if I'm Hosea, I'm like, what the heck? This can't be real. But many of you are in situations, not like this, but are just as hard and don't make any sense. And you're saying, what? Why? Look down at verse 4. This shows that Israel will go a long time without a king or prince and without sacrifice. Verse 5. But afterwards the people will return and devote themselves to the Lord, their God, and to David's descendants, their king. In the last days they will tremble and be in awe of his goodness. God's people will be brought back to him. That's what God does. If you read through the Old Testament, story after story after story, where God's people turn and walk away from him, and he will only put up with that for so long, and he'll say, I will give you what you want. For us, I hope he doesn't, but at some point he's going to give us what we want. And we are on an accelerated pace away from him. But we need to be faithful And no matter what he asks us to do, and no matter how hard it gets and how hard it is and how little sense it makes, we need to stay close to him. So here, I promised you I'm going to give you a major application of how does this apply to us. God will bring judgment for sin. He will. That's our major takeaway from this story. There is so much to this story, and we don't have time to go into all of it, but our major takeaway is that in this story and throughout the Old Testament, God will bring judgment for sin. And it's going to happen to where we're at in this country at some point. I don't know when. I'm not proclaiming to know when. I am not a prophet. I'm a studier of his word, and it's going to happen at some point. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel. The Lord has brought charges against you. If he brought charges against this country, they'd be a mile long. Drop down to verse 16, because I think we can read us into this. Israel is stubborn like a stubborn heifer. So the Lord feed her like a lamb. So should the Lord feed her like a lamb in lush pasture? Leave Israel alone because she is married to idolatry. When the rulers of Israel finish with their drinking, they go off with some prostitutes, and they love shame more than honor. So the mighty wind will sweep them away, and their sacrifice to the idols will bring shame. God will bring judgment for sin. Here's our major lesson for you and I. When we look at this book and we look at what God said to the land of Israel, and we look at Hosea's life, our major walkaway is that God may ask you to do something very hard for him. He may already be asking you, but God may ask you to do something very hard for him. Will you do it? Your major question in looking at what God asked Hosea to do, and maybe looking at your life, maybe things he may be asking you to do now, the question I have for you is there anything you won't do for God? Ask yourself that question. Is there anything you won't do for God? Where do you draw that line in the sand? Because if there is a line in the sand, he's not your everything. Go to chapter 14. Drop down to verse 9. And this is Hosea's closing thoughts to you and I. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But those in the paths of sinners will stumble and fall. Which path are you on? Pray with me. Father, I thank you that we can look at your word hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and they tell us who you are, and they tell us what you expect from us. Father, I pray that as we just look very briefly at this story, that it will ignite in us a desire to read the entire story and to see who you are. Father, I pray for the people in this room that even though we live in a land that is turning its back on you, I pray that we never do. And I pray that as we watch our country walk away and at times run away from you, that we stand firm and be the light in the darkness, that we take heart and have courage. Father, let us be usable to you in no matter what you ask us to do. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Stand with me. Let's sing. Thank you for being here. For those of, especially Justin, that led the charge for breakfast this morning and all those that put effort into that, thank you. It was tremendous. If you invite you to hang around for our business conference. And as we go out those doors, let us make sure that He is our everything, no matter what He asks us to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your love for your people. Father, let us make you our everything. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.